It's refreshing to meet high-profile leaders who understand the dangers associated with power. They refuse to see themselves as invincible, because even good men and women are tempted. One poor decision, one little compromise, can sabotage a leader's legacy forever. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a message introduced on Friday's program. We're looking at a fascinating Old Testament man who demonstrated remarkable character and resolve, even when threatened by personal danger. Chuck is teaching from the book of Daniel. He titled today's message, Modeling Integrity, and we begin with prayer.
We pause on this special day, our Father, to give you thanks for making things well within our souls, even though we live in troubled times, where there are tragedies that break our hearts, there are scenes that boggle our minds, and there are situations that we simply cannot fathom. Nevertheless, through Christ, it can be well within our souls. Father, we do thank you for the privilege of knowing the truth. And in knowing the truth, of finding the benefit of that knowledge with an inner peace and a lasting joy and the presence of your Spirit that will never be lifted from us. Thank you for the hope that this brings. And on this day when we acknowledge those who have died for our freedom, we pause to acknowledge the one and only Savior of the world who has died for our sins, even Christ. I pray for those who have never trusted in him that they will do so this day before it is past, that they might know the joy of sins forgiven and the blessing and promise of eternal life. Thank you that in that knowledge of Christ, we can have the sort of peace and relief that comes. And as we have this peace, we respond with gratitude and generosity with our gifts now. In the name of Christ, our Master, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck called Modeling Integrity.
When you have integrity, you are verbally responsible. You do not lie, ever. You tell the truth. When you are a person of integrity, you are financially responsible. You handle your money and others appropriately. You are accountable. A person of integrity is privately pure. There is no double life. You don't live one way and talk another way. Your public and private triangles are congruent. Integrity works itself out in various ways. Ethical soundness, meaning you won't cut corners. Intellectual veracity, meaning you will not cheat or take some other's work and claim it as your own, which is called plagiarism. You will also live a life of moral excellence. You don't live with the fear of being found out. There's nothing to find out. You are living a life of personal consistency. There is no difference whether you are alone or a whole room of people would be watching you. You are the same. There are some scriptural statements that reveal the benefits of integrity. Look quickly, will you? Mainly in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. People with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall, says this version of the Bible. Proverbs 11, 3. Another word for integrity: honesty guides good people, dishonesty destroys treacherous people. 13:6. Godliness guards the path of the blameless. Another word for integrity: blameless. Godliness guards the path of the blameless, but the evil are misled by sin. One that I've always loved in Proverbs is in chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. Many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? Look at the next verse. The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. One of the great benefits of living a life of integrity is your children imbibe the blessings. They have nothing to be ashamed of or afraid of being found out regarding their parents or their grandparents because there has been integrity lived out. One more, if I may, for the sake of time. 28, verse 6. Proverbs 28, 6, better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and rich. We were reared by people of the greatest generation. There was a generation back then that didn't look for handouts, didn't expect applause, didn't do what they would do so that they might make more money or get credit. They did it because it was right. And as a result, you were led to do what was right, which was spelled out very clearly in the Ten Commandments and in other documents, as well as the unwritten documents that marked our lives. Integrity was drilled into my thinking so that I determined before I became a young man, I would stand alone for what I believed to be true. One more thing, and I'll go on since this really is not about me at all. I would no more be standing here today if it hadn't been for that training than the man in the moon. You would not have wanted me to serve as your pastor. Because of the things in my life I would be ashamed of. There certainly have been things that I have been disappointed in, certainly wrongs that I have done. In fact, I remember one from last week that still embarrasses me, but it's none of your business. I've dealt with it. Being a person of integrity does not mean perfection, it means authenticity. And when you do wrong, you admit it and you completely address it and you seek forgiveness and you go on saying, by the grace of God, I won't do that again. It's a matter of authenticity, not perfection. So don't let yourself get talked out of it because that man up there is talking about being perfect and I'm not perfect. I am not talking about that. That's one of the lies of this culture. Because nobody can be perfect, don't even try to be a person of integrity. Because you can't. And so we bring up heroes, and the first thing people do is shoot at the heroes to knock them down to size to prove they're only human. We know they're human. We know that. But how much we need heroes. How greatly we need mentors to look up to. Knowing they won't lie to us. Knowing they won't steal from us. Knowing they won't cheat. Knowing they won't leave an impression that's false when in fact it is not true of them. We are now living in a generation where the children do not know right from wrong, where there can be even acts of violence committed without conscience. where people can walk into a schoolroom with a large loaded weapon and just randomly begin to shoot down children. I cannot fathom that kind of thing. But it comes because in this generation there has been a loss of integrity. And I say that with deep passion. My prayer for you and for me and for us as parents, as grandparents, great-grandparents, is that we will spend our days investing our lives in imparting this great character quality that is so lacking. It is not found in the schools. It is not found in the public square. It is not found in corporate headquarters. It is not found in the government. It is not found in many, many homes, dare I say, most homes. And I say that with a heavy heart. And because of that, our nation is far weaker than we have ever been before in our history. Integrity is one of those qualities that we must revive. And it isn't done in a group. It isn't done by a large congregation. It is done individually, one by one, family by family, every mom, every dad, every sibling, every family along the way begins to get the message and ultimately pays the price for walking in integrity. And it is a price. Because wrong will forever be on the throne and truth will forever be on the scaffold. So said James Russell Lowell. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, until Christ comes and sets up his throne over us. I wish I could tell you that in religious circles there is a great prevalence of integrity. There is not. There is not. And there certainly would be more than would be found where there is no faith, whatever, but we are a long ways from the kind of integrity we see in the life of this man in front of us in Daniel's story, chapter 6. Now, I love the fact that there are a few people in the Bible for whom there is no recorded sin. Doesn't mean they didn't sin. It means that the sin that they committed was not so heinous that it needed to be stated in the scriptures. Daniel's one of those people. You'll look in vain to find a recorded sin in his life. He committed them, I repeat again and again, but there is no recorded moment when he failed. So here's a man we can really look up to, a man of integrity. His name is Daniel. He's lived about 8 decades. His reputation by the time we meet him is enviable. He's lived through one regime after another that has been corrupt all the way to the top. Not once has he compromised his integrity. Not once has he fallen in line with the majority. He even as a teenager wouldn't change his diet. And he asked permission among those who had him in his boot camp to prepare him for a life of servanthood in the realm of a Babylonian eunuch to serve alongside those around him. This monotheistic Jew, this faithful young man, pled for the opportunity to maintain a unique, strict diet while others would not eat that, and they granted it to him. And as a result, he and his friends who chose the same route came out better than all the rest put together. It's a wonderful story, but that's earlier. Now he's 80. Now, according to the last verse of the previous chapter, Darius, 62, takes the throne of the Medes and the Persians. Enough of ancient history. He realized that his kingdom is shot through with corruption. He's got a real problem on his hand. Now that he's king, there will be people who will steal from his treasury. There will be people who will lead to chaos in his kingdom. So he needs to delegate the authority, since he can't be everywhere at once in charge. So he chooses a group of people. That's what the first part of chapter 6 is about.
Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces. Now watch closely. This is organizational plan 101. So he divides this vast kingdom into 120 territories. He appoints a high officer to rule over each one of the provinces. That's smart. They'll be there. There'll be hands-on leadership. And I'll trust them to do what? The king chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers to protect the king's interest. You got the point? We're going to watch over each territory of the kingdom, and we're going to make sure that the monies are handled correctly. When taxes are paid, taxes are returned, and there is an accounting of the money so that it's carried out correctly. That's the king's desire. He realizes as he works with these individuals, one person stands head and shoulders above all the rest. His name is Daniel. See verse 3? He soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because he was handsome, had nothing to do with physical appearance. Because he made more money? Nope, we don't even read that they made any money. Because he was by nature attractive? Nope. Look at the reason. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. We would call it like a role of prime minister over the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Darius would be king, that he would have representing him and the others answering to him, Daniel, who had proven himself worthy of this position. Daniel is seasoned, experienced. He's been through one king after another. So along comes this king, and Daniel knows before it even gets underway that this kingdom will bring with it a majority opinion that is wrong and lacks integrity. Now, Darius realizes it as well and wants to protect his kingdom. And by the way, isn't it magnificent when people who have proven their character are placed into positions of authority? I love following individuals like that. And Daniel is one of those people. Now, what do you think of the other people thought of that? Oh, that's great. We are so thrilled. Daniel got promoted over us. Are you kidding? Get a life. Look at the next verse. The other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. Why? Because he was faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy. Put in the margin of your Bible, integrity. There it is. Look at the words always and completely. Remember the word completeness, wholeness. In fact, one of the definitions, if I go back there briefly, talked about having no veneer. If it's wood, it's solid wood. There's not a veneer of some other substance on top of that wood. It's solid all the way. When you have integrity, you're solid all the way through. Slice it at any point, it still comes out integrity. And they couldn't find any dirt on it. They hired 60 Minutes. They showed up with their cameras. They looked for places where he had been fudging, where he was maybe taking a little money on the side. Maybe he was in the files writing up his own future and giving himself special promotions and raises in salary. None of that. He was clean as a hound's tooth. He's absolutely clean. That'll frustrate anyone looking for dirt because they want to find some dirt. And then once they find it, that's what they hammer away at when they present your case to the one that's about to promote you. That's exactly what happens. But they couldn't find any dirt. So look at what was said. Verse 4. They began to search for some fault and they couldn't find anything. He was faithful and responsible and trustworthy. Verse 5. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusation, for accusing Daniel, will be in connection with the rules of his religion. At this point, I get very sober. We are heading in that direction as a nation. You as a Christian can live as a Christian. But you before long let your convictions cut cross grain with the politically correct edicts that are passed down, and I will tell you, you got trouble in your future. So does this church that will not bend on points of character and ethics and integrity. The scriptures will be our guide first and foremost. I am no prophet. I simply read the scene in front of me, and I witness from what I read those pockets of individuals who are now marked out because they don't get in line with what is now the accepted procedure and expected of all organizations, especially those who are getting tax benefit. We're right in the middle of those crosshairs. So when you read about Daniel and the rules of his religion, this is nothing to yawn at. This is preview of coming attractions. It may not happen in my lifetime, though I rather think it will. Of course, I'm planning to live to be 150, so who knows what that's going to mean. But it may very well be true in your lifetime. So you better be preparing your children and your grandchildren with lives of integrity, or they'll fall right in line. And you can't prepare en masse. You can't get a whole city together and prepare the city. You prepare in your home, in your family, with your children, with your grandchildren. You drill it into them. You communicate it. Best of all, you model it. And then having modeled and communicated, you hold them accountable. That's why we have a generation that can kill without conscience, or walk into a schoolroom with a heavy weapon loaded and other weapons on their shoulders and kill randomly children they don't even know, or watch slaughters on the streets of people the individual who is killing them doesn't even know. It's a breakdown of integrity, clear and clean and simple in front of our eyes. Daniel is living out the truth, and they can't find any fault except with his rules of religion. Now, remember, Darius has never read Daniel 6, okay? Darius really likes Daniel. He's going to promote him to be prime minister. He believes in Daniel. But these people who are around him, 122 in number, have come to Darius saying, "We've got a plan." In fact, look at how they put it. Verse 6, so the administrators and the officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement." That's a lie. That's a lie. When you have integrity, you don't use the word all if it isn't all. You know who's missing? Daniel. They should have said all but one of us. But they wouldn't dare say that because they know what he thinks of Daniel. So they say all of us. We're all in agreement, king. That this is a plan you need to set in motion. When you read your Bible, pay attention to words like all, always, and never. Always look at those kind of words. And here's a case in point. We're all in agreement, O king, that you should set forth an edict. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, except one. They don't say it, but they know it. But when you don't have integrity, you overlook it. You rationalize around it. You excuse that lie. You say that the king should make a law that will strictly enforced. Give orders that the next 30 days, only you will be worshiped. You're the only one to whom everyone will pray, human or divine. You are the one. You are the one, O Majesty. And those who don't agree will be thrown into the den of lions. Maybe you never knew that. We want you to throw them in a den of lions. That's, by the way, their kind of capital punishment. So he'll be tortured to death in the teeth and claws of lions. And the king sounds like a great idea to me. So King Darius signed the law, verse 10. When Daniel learned that the law had been signed, went home, knelt down, and he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done.
Daniel seems unfazed by this terrible threat from the king. You're listening to Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll. Our subject today is modeling integrity. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. There's much more ahead in the coming programs. In fact, let me give you a sneak peek of what's coming. You're going to meet someone who's a living model of courage under fire, because we have the privilege of speaking with the voice of Chuck Swindoll in Lebanon. He's a modern-day Daniel. Charlie Costa, one of Insight for Living's field pastors, is the man who translates these daily programs into the Arabic language. As a result of his work, Chuck's teaching is heard in the Middle East and beyond. Charlie will bring a fascinating update on the political tensions rising and how God is at work in spite of it all. Daniel was a man of integrity and courage, but he wasn't born with those virtues. He cultivated them. And Chuck Swindoll has written a devotional book that celebrates our favorite biblical heroes. It's called Great Days with the Great Lives. With 365 devotional chapters, this book provides daily inspiration to become all God intended for you. Reasonably priced, you can purchase a copy right now by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/offer. Anything you give above and beyond the purchase of the book goes directly toward reaching men and women here at home and all over the world with the kind of Bible teaching you heard today. In fact, Insight for Living is translated into 7 other languages as well. To join us in Christ's vision to take His message to the remotest parts of the world, we invite you to give generously. To give a one-time donation, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org. Tuesday, Chuck Swindoll issues a challenge, urging each of us to measure our integrity in places only God can see. That's next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Modeling Integrity, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.